Hello and welcome to Vista Talks, interesting discussions with interesting people from all around the world. I'm your host for today, Simon Hodgkins, and it's an absolute pleasure to be joined by Alex Burnett. Alex is a well-known figure in the localization industry. He's known very much for his expertise and leadership in the field, and as a manager of the Masterclass program at the Localization Institute, something I know that will be known to a lot of our people watching and listening to this episode around the world. Alex is also the co-producer of Lockworld's Process Innovation Challenge, the PIC, a very, very popular activity. And we're going to dive into a little bit about that as we go through our discussions today. Alex has played a pivotal role in driving innovation, fostering collaboration, and positioning the localization industry for success. I know Alex has extensive experience and a deep understanding of our industry, which make him a really valuable resource for insights into the localization industry at large. And in addition to that role that I mentioned as the manager of that masterclass program, he's also been actively involved in organizations such as Lockworld, of course, the Localization Institute, and working towards very advanced interests in the industry and advocating for very favorable regulatory frameworks. So, Alex, you're very welcome to the show. It's great to have you on here. Let's move on. Let's get into it, because not long ago, we were actually speaking to Dave Ruan here on the show, who I know is your partner in the Process Innovation Challenge. So can you tell us a bit about your work as a co-producer of Lockworld's Process Innovation Challenge? What is it? What's it all about? How does it work? And how do you think it's impacting the localization industry? So over to you, Alex.
Well, first of all, thanks so much, Simon, for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here with you and talk to you, and particularly to talk about the PIC, which is a passion project of mine and has been for over 5 years now. Dave Ruan, as you mentioned, created the PIC back in 2017, and I started helping him in 2018. My background is actually as an event planner, but also I have a theater background. So one of the first things that I saw was, you know, Dave is an ideas guy himself. He's an innovative thinker. And where I saw sometimes left brain people need a little help from right brain people to help make the format and the flow of an actual event, and particularly a complicated competition like we have with the PIC, where there are many different moving parts, including not just innovator pitches, but we have three process dragons who are experts, subject experts in localization, who are asking the tough questions of the innovators and prodding and poking them about scalability and maturity and all of the things that matter in their innovation to determine a winner each time. And so where my theater background really came in was that I saw right away is ways that I could help Dave kind of tighten up the format of the program to make it move more efficiently, to not have awkward pauses and things like that, and just really trying to bring out and allow our innovators to shine in their way. In some of the initial competitions that we had, I think we often got bogged down in explaining what the PIC was and everything like that. And what we really want is to spend as much time with the innovators themselves as possible. And so I started working with Dave before our conference in Warsaw, Poland. And that was in 2018. And, at that time, the PIC was still very small. Lockworld and our two founders, Ulrich Hennis and Donna Parrish, were very excited about the idea of it, but we didn't really know where to put it within Lockworld's program and how popular it would be. We really didn't know, do people even want to see a competition like this, or are they more interested in the more traditional, presentations of 45 minutes from a major global brand with a little bit of Q&A. So Dave and I saw this, this niche that we could carve out within the conference of offering something that was totally different than what the rest of the conference and the traditional structure of the conference was. So it started in a back room at Lockworld, where it was, again, working from a very small setup. And I think the first couple times that we did it, we had maybe four or five innovators that submitted. As of this current moment, we're getting ready for Lockworld 50, the 50th Lockworld conference coming up in San Jose next month. And we had over 20 innovators submit proposals. We just completed our preliminary rounds 2 weeks ago, and we were able to whittle down with the help of our dragons, our judges. They helped score and coach our innovators. And after those preliminary rounds, we now have six finalists that will be on stage in San Jose next month. So it's been a really exciting process. It's all about evolving the platform and trying to make a safe space really for innovators to share their ideas. You know, another thing is that they come to us with all different levels of maturity of innovation. Some people are really just at the phase of ideation. They say, this is the way things are. And we think that, you know, we should do something more like this, and, you know, to improve the speed and efficiency of processes or technology in localization. Other people come to us with a very, very mature innovation already. It might already even be at the phase of adoption where they're even having clients or people that are able to use it outside of their own organizations. And so that's kind of a brief, you know, I've set the table here, but it continues to grow and evolve. And it's really all powered by the people who are passionate about it. Again, Dave and I do so much, but we're really trying to create this thing that grows on its own. And it really is now. We have a lot of people who have pitched in previous events that want to help out and serve as dragons themselves and coaching new innovators in the thing. And so the whole goal is just to continue to build the platform.
Thank you, Alex, for giving us the context about the Process Innovation Challenge, because the pick itself has moved, I think, from what you described early on as that sort of back room activity, sort of in the corner, to a real main stage event now. And people look forward to it now. And there are some really great innovations coming through the Process Innovation Challenge. So on that note, what are some of the current trends and maybe those innovations in the localization industry? What are you seeing and how do you see them evolving maybe in the future?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't start with the hottest topic that everyone is talking about all the time, which is generative AI. And certainly, you know, I would say since 2021 is really where certainly automation has always been a hot topic and everything like that. But really, since the advent of ChatGPT and such, we're seeing a whole new boom. And people are imagining different ways to use generative AI across all sorts of processes in the localization industry. So that's definitely, I think, the biggest new topic that we see. Now, one aspect of that is it's trying to figure out where does the human fit in the loop of generative AI. And I think, you know, people are always looking for a silver bullet with AI. And what most of our successful innovators are really selling is that we're not getting rid of the human being. What we're doing is making one human being or two human beings be as effective with, in, you know, in working with AI as former huge teams of human beings are. And so it's not entirely getting rid of human beings. It's more about placing the human within that AI framework to be the most efficient and the most, cost-saving, time-saving for the organization as possible. So that would be one of the topics. You know, another one that we see a whole lot of is certainly related to media localization. So from dubbing, captioning, particularly live, you know, live event captioning and subtitling and things like this is a very big deal because obviously you need translations to be not only effective, but also correct. And so there are all kinds of new tools and people out there in the industry that are creating new ways to do that. And so we've seen, those are probably the two main topics that I think we've seen recently coming up. But certainly it's with more and more people pitching every time, we have a whole lot of, you know, a lot of different topics that come up.
Yeah, and those two are very hot topics, I know for sure. Of course, generative AI, AI and how it fits into localization is extremely hot topic. So I'm sure we'll see more of that at the next Process Innovation Challenge in Silicon Valley when.
And you actually will, you know, if you're curious about who is going to be on stage in that final round too, I would encourage people to check out our website, you know, pick.lokeworld.com, and you can read more about the six finalists that will be on stage. But I think you'll see right away that generative AI is playing a big role in many of them.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. And look, I want to touch back a little bit if I can, because I mentioned at the top that you're sort of running this masterclass program at the Localization Institute, okay? Mm-hmm. And of course, as this sort of co-producer of the PIC, really important aspects to the industry. But I wondered if you could give me an overview for our listeners and people watching around the world about the role, from your perspective, the role that maybe Lokeworld plays. You mentioned Ulrich and Donna earlier, for example, two very well-known figures in this industry. But the role that Lokeworld plays, and also the Localization Institute plays, when it comes to maybe supporting and promoting the localization industry?
Again, a great question, and thank you, Simon. I've worked for Ulrich now for over a decade, and what really attracted me to the job and to joining Lokeworld when he first was hiring me, he told me the greatest satisfaction that he gets from putting on events is seeing the idea moment when two people who he's had a chance to introduce or that he sees meet the first time at one of our events, when you see the light bulbs go off and when you see someone who maybe obviously is struggling with a certain aspect of their career or their role, and suddenly they meet someone who shows them a way that they hadn't thought of. And so I think as event planners, that is the biggest payoff that we always get. It's not, certainly we want to make a profit and do well, but really the satisfaction comes from putting on a good event that people find valuable. And so in terms of Lokeworld, I think, you know, so Donna and Ulrich created it back in 2003. We're about on our 50th conference next month. And I just think that it's kind of the meeting place and the hub for a lot of these things. And while we are the largest industry event, you know, it's great that we've been able to be become closer partners with Gala and with ALIA and several of these other associations and organizations, because really, it's, while it is somewhat competitive, you know, from a profit standpoint, what we're trying to do together is lift up the localization industry. And, you know, I think one of the other trends that I'm seeing in localization is that so many companies are running lean localization models now, and they have small teams, and they only have so much budget. And oftentimes the C-suite, I think, is overlooking, you know, just sees localization simply as a service provider. So where our events, I think, are really important are for people that are in those roles and that are feeling marginalized within their own companies. This is actually the type of place where they can go to actually share ideas and really improve everything around them, because, you know, in many ways, their own organizations aren't necessarily serving them well enough to make them successful. And that's where the sharing of experiences with peers is so valuable.
I think it's such an important point. And it sort of reminded me when you were talking there, Alex, of if we go back a number of years, not too far back, but there was a big discussion about, you know, localization being perceived as a cost center as opposed to a revenue driver.
Exactly.
Or something that helps you shift more product or, you know, produce more profit or bottom line. And I think as an industry, it has moved on. But you're right, there's still some very hardworking unsung heroes there. And a community like this is really important to help not just showcase that and support that, but also to educate other people in terms of the importance of this work that's going on here. And on that point, you must have seen, being involved, in this work along the years, you must have seen changes, you must have seen it evolving. But what changes would you like to see in the future?
Boy, another great question. I would like to see, so the lean localization model again is this new challenge. And I think in the current business climate, certainly over the last few years with the economic situation, inflation, businesses are tightening their belts. And again, they're looking for simple silver bullet solutions that really just don't exist. And I honestly believe that finding ways to get localization out of the silo, to connect it higher upstream in everything from product development, marketing, all of these things, makes sense for global companies. You're going to save money, but it really requires bringing in the localization people earlier on. And I think for some organizations, they don't want to have more people at the meeting room table. They already have to listen to enough things from their engineers and their product. Why should we listen to localization people too? But I think the obvious trend in particularly content creation and such is that localization is fundamental from the beginning, and that if you can design your content to already be global ready, that is going to save you so much time and so much effort and mainly headaches too. You know, I feel like localization is often stories of blunders, right? Like we have so many companies that have made mistakes and that have to go back and fix very expensive problems and things that probably could have been avoided with a little bit more listening to the localization teams. And so that's what I'd like to see, is that, you know, we can be evangelists for localization in general, which is to say, stop treating it as just a cost and start looking at it truly as a revenue driver in the company.
So as that evangelist or that localization leader, have you got any advice for people, you know, whether they're the aspiring entrepreneur, whether they're a professional looking to enter this field or get more involved, or maybe tie that relationship closer, higher up the value chain. Have you got any advice for people?
Sure. So in addition to collaborating, first of all, and sharing ideas with people in the industry, the other thing is to look at what other companies are doing and find that success. And, you know, part of it, I think a big role is that we need to like leverage the data that localization provides to convince the C-suite and convince the business operations teams in a company of why, and make the case for localization, right? It's, you can't just expect the people above you to come around to your opinion if you don't actually bring data and hard points to sell why you're making the case that you are. And so that's where, again, by collaborating and looking at what other people are doing, coming to events like LocWorld and saying to other people, hey, I see that your company is doing this. How did you manage to do that? And getting pointers and strategy. Again, the value, I think, of conferences and events, while presentations can be eye-opening and while you can see great things from brands that are, you know, showing case studies of what they've done, the real, I think where the sausage is really made is in the networking, and it's the sharing of experiences with peers that really unlocks doors and allows people to really grow and take back really actionable strategies that they can take immediately to their companies to improve the processes and workflows.
Yeah, all excellent points, Alex. And I particularly like your reference to data, you know, leveraging that data and those data points, but also the learning from others. It's so important that knowledge is shared. And as you say, you mentioned it earlier, when you're sort of trying to move the industry together forward collectively, as opposed to against each other. I know it impacts profit lines and things, but ultimately we're all trying to move the industry on. And I think it's an excellent point that you make there. And of course, there's nothing better than meeting up with people and that community, because it is a community, isn't it? It's a worldwide community of people and professionals that are working here. And of course, back to the Process Innovation Challenge, you're bringing true innovation to this industry as well through that sort of activity. But look, before we run out of time, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience today? Or if people want to find out more, do you want to send them to the PIC website, or where's the best place to connect with you?
So to start with the PIC, it's a volunteer driven platform. And so Dave and I, work on the the creating the event and the format and everything. But really what drives it is the excitement that people have. At our last event, we had 380 people in Malmo, Sweden that watched our pick final. That's the biggest pick we've ever had. You know, over 250 people voted in that for the Innovator of the Year. If you're interested in finding out more about the pick out there, you know, please contact me directly. My name, again, Alex Burnett. My email address is alex@lokeworld.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn. And we would love to hear from you, whether it be just as a supporter of the pick, whether you're considering pitching in a future pick yourself, or, you know, on some of the more advanced level, I'd love to hear from other industry experts who might want to serve as judges and process dragons for our event. If I can just take a moment to mention, so Ulrich Hennes's other company stands on its own is called the Localization Institute. And our work there, particularly since the pandemic, we've started the masterclass program, which was created. We started in 2021 with Karen Combe, formerly from PTC, creating a localization management masterclass for us. And we found great success for it right away. And we realized that really, localization is underserved in terms of education. In fact, for LokeWorld right now too is working on an initiative called Edu in Loke. That's another thing that I would steer people who are new coming into the industry. Find out more about the Edu in Loke initiative, which is really designed to help match up new people in the industry to trainings and to learning the skills that global companies actually need right out of the gate from their professionals. And while there are certainly the Middlebury Institute is a shining example of an educational you know, institution that is doing a great job to train, there aren't a whole lot of others, particularly in the United States, that are doing such things. So that's why we created this masterclass program. The masterclasses are typically 8 hours in length, and we always select instructors who actually have hands-on practical industry experience. So sure, some of them come from academic backgrounds, but we're trying to focus really on people who have actually been there for global companies and have gone through these actual things. It's that practical knowledge that they can impart that I think is so valuable. And so we've developed a series of, we have 9 masterclasses at this point. We also have 10 of these new Ready, Set, Go classes. These are short form 2 to 2.5 hour sessions with an instructor. They're supposed to be deep dive. Like if you just need a really quick primer on, for instance, Tim Arata is a teacher who teaches on vendor selection and management, and his Ready, Set, Go class has been extremely popular for helping people who are in the LSP world navigating the LSP world from the client side. And it's just a very basic primer. And then from those Ready, Set, Go classes, you can expand to the more in-depth masterclasses as well. But I guess that would be what my thing would be. My passion is for, again, helping lift up people in the industry. And if they want to find out more, they can contact me directly through LinkedIn, and I'd be happy to share more information on any of our classes or instructors.
That sounds wonderful. Yeah, we know Tim and the great work he's doing there at Locale Solutions. And also, it's really encouraging as well to hear everything that's going on with the masterclass program at the Localization Institute. And of course, we'd encourage people to check out what's happening with the pick. It's going to be an exciting one this year for sure at LokeWorld 50. And that really brings us nicely, Alex, to the end of the show today. So I want to ask people to tune in again to see and or listen to the next Vista Talk show, where once again we'll be discussing some interesting topics with interesting people like Alex from all around the world. And to thank you, Alex, for taking time to be on the show today. It's been a real pleasure to join you.
Simon, I can't thank you enough for having me on, and I'm just really appreciative of your time and this platform.